You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Action Network Podcast, the number one show for the invested sports fan.
Ready?
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch.
Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Week 6 XFL Fantasy Flex, the X-Flex on the Action Network podcast. I'm Matthew Friedman, the editor-in-chief of Fantasy Labs, part of the Action Network. This is actually the 200th episode we've done since reconfiguring everything and launching the Action Network podcast in June. Thanks to everyone for listening. In January, we won the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association Award for Best Betting Podcast or Radio Show. There are a lot of great podcasts and shows out there, and we want to thank you for listening to ours. And we know that we wouldn't win the FSGA award if not for the listeners. So thank you very much. Also, shout out to our producer, Matt Mitchell, aka Uncle Mitch. And now we are on to the next 200 shows. In this episode, we are breaking down the Week 6 XFL lines. We're looking at the futures market, touching on our favorite DFS plays, and highlighting our favorite bets. With me is Sean Corner, our director of predictive analytics. Our guy, Chris Raybon, is out, but he will be back next week. Sean, let's jump into it. The first game we have on the slate, Houston Roughnecks at the New York Guardians. The Roughnecks right now, 6.5-point favorites, a 47-point over-under. Although, if you are interested in the Roughnecks and that over that they tend to hit, you can find it at 46.5 out there at a couple of books. So something to keep an eye on. Sean, where are you leaning?
So I had this one as Houston minus 7.5. So I think there is some value there, which is a bit surprising because I feel like the past 4 weeks I've been showing value against Houston's opponents. It's just one of those things where everybody realizes they're the number one team in the league. So we're going to see their lines inflated pretty much every week. But I think this week, I think you can get some value on them. New York's had a good run the past couple weeks, but I think it's going to be short-lived. The underlying data still isn't quite there for them. And I don't think they're a team that's really built to hang with Houston. So I think it's going to be a tough matchup for them to, you know, keep up with Houston or even come back. Luis Perez has had the benefit of solid defense the past couple weeks and just playing with a lead. So I think this matchup could pose problems. If this were NFL, I would say hurry up and get my 6.5. But really, with XFL, we don't really have that key number 7. So I like him 6.5. I'd probably still bet him at 7. But like I said, I think Houston should be about 7.5 here. And I think we're just getting them on a week where the market is liking the opponent a little bit too much. And when it comes to DFS, taking P.J. Walker, Cam Phillips, and Nick Hawley is just an automatic three-man stack. If you do something like that, it's going to be super chalky. It's pretty easy to be contrarian elsewhere. But when it comes to XFL, there really aren't many players that you should even spend up for. But those three are just so consistent week to week. There's almost no reason to fade them right now. So I'm going to have way more lineups with them in it and just trying to get more contrarian with the other pieces. Maybe the running back, you can go contrarian, or the other receiver, take a tight end. But I think just to have a solid core, I think having those three players in a stack makes sense this week.
What are your thoughts on Mobley? Because he was, for me, a lock in cash games last week. Of course, he was very close to the minimum price, especially on DraftKings last week. Now he's at 5,500. I think he's basically stolen Sammy Coates' job, and we don't know for sure that Sammy Coates is even playing this week. So if Mobley is the guy who's out there running as that other perimeter wide receiver and four wide receiver sets, I think he's pretty attractive at 5,500.
Oh, absolutely. That would be one way to kind of make this stack a little bit contrarian, is just go Walker, Phillips, and Mobley, or Walker, Hawley, and Mobley. But yeah, he played every single passing down last week. So that's huge. And yeah, Sammy Coates was out. So that was a huge part. But also Khalil Lewis only played about 70% of passing downs. He was a bit banged up. So it's one of those things that's pretty volatile. We could see Mobley go back down to his, you know, 65% or so snap share. But in this offense, that's still plenty to hit value. But yeah, if Coates is out again, Mobley is going to be pretty much a free square again. And then you have to consider stacking four Houston players. It seems so crazy and you hate to be that chalky, but really the way this league is shaping up, like, you have to do that. So yeah, I love Mobley as well, especially if Coates is out again.
This is maybe the first week where I didn't look at the board and immediately want to bet multiple games. This was really the only one. And it was, of course, you know, the over, the Roughnecks scoring the most points in the league, you know, allowing close to the most points in the league, even though they have, you know, I think a big play defense. They get lots of sacks, you know, get lots of interceptions, but they also allow some big plays. And opposing offenses just know that they're going to have to score points to try to keep up with the Roughnecks. So I think they play a little more aggressively. And so, you know, 46.5, 47, I do like the over there. The, you know, the Roughnecks are 4-1 to the over. And, you know, they're basically a, you know, a Philip Nelson fumble at the goal line away, you know, a couple of weeks ago from being 5-0 to the over. And so even though I don't really have much respect for the Guardians and their offense and what they're able to do, I still think they're probably able to score enough points. And of course, I think the Roughnecks will be able to score enough points to get this game to the over. But that's really the one bet I've made. And I think there's a bigger question about home field advantage. And then now this is going to be potentially complicated with the coronavirus and whether, you know, teams end up playing some games without an audience there. But how many points right now, roughly, are you assigning to home field advantage? Because to me, that's a big distinguisher in a lot of the lines that I have versus the lines that I see in the market right now.
Yeah, so I personally have it around 3. I think we need a bigger sample size to really amp it up. But yeah, there could be many different reasons for that. You know, the thing with XFL is the coaches are able to talk to the players, every single player, up until the ball is snapped. So I think that could have an impact if the crowd's loud, like we've seen in St. Louis or Seattle. You know, that could have an impact if players are used to hearing exactly what they should do up before the, you know, up until the play snap. So there's things like that. Travel, you know, these organizations are still new, so it might not be as clean as the NFL traveling schedule or whatever. But yeah, there's something about XFL where it does seem like the home team does have a pretty significant advantage. I'm just not willing to make it more than, you know, an NFL 2.5 or 3 quite yet. But yeah, this week with coronavirus, it could be interesting if we see some games with no fans. I'm a bit worried about the game in Seattle because Seattle's been hit pretty hard by it. I could, if there were going to be a game that would potentially have no fans, that would be the game. So I would, you know, be factoring that in when you're making your bets right now, that could potentially be a game where they're playing in front of zero people. So we'll see how much of an impact fans are if things like that happen starting this week.
All right, let's get to the next game on the slate. We have the St. Louis Battlehawks, 3-point favorites at the Tampa Bay Vipers, and we see an over-under of 42 points. I said 3 points. You can find it at 3. It's 3.5 now in some places I'm seeing in the market. Sean, where are you on that game?
Well, I have Tampa Bay as just 2-point underdogs at home. So, I mean, I'm probably showing a little bit of value taking them as a, you know, field goal underdog. But still, these two teams, man, you know, St. Louis on the road last week against D.C., totally flopped. Both these teams are pretty volatile. It's been hard to peg them lately. As we remember, you know, at the beginning of the year, Tampa Bay had the highest season win total, and St. Louis was one of the lowest. So I feel like after 5 weeks, we've just accepted that Tampa Bay is one of the worst teams and St. Louis is one of the best. But last week, you know, we saw it mix up a little bit, and I'm just going to stay away from this spread. Again, I think both teams are a little too volatile for me to bet on this, but I do think there is value on the under. I have it closer to like 40. For this game, and it's at 42, which is, you know, a pretty key number when it comes to football totals. But I can see both teams are pretty strong in terms of the running game. And I think both teams, if it's close, which it should be, are going to lean towards the run. And it's just going to be more of a ball control possession type game. And, you know, these teams, you know, we saw them pick up the pace when they played a team like Houston or whatever. But these teams both like to play for, you know, lower scoring environment, run heavy, type of football. So I think that that combined, both teams will be kind of playing towards the under here. So I like the under at 42. Yeah, and for DFS, just again, Reese Horn and Jalen Tolliver, those guys are the guys I've been kind of targeting as mid-priced wide receivers. Last week, they were about $1,000 cheaper, and both went for 90 yards and a touchdown. So again, just when it comes to these three receivers on Tampa Bay, take your pick of one of them every week. One of them will probably have a good game. I'm not saying to play both, but they still present decent value, even though they're about $1 to 1.5K more expensive than last week.
Yeah, Jalen Tolliver, was definitely the guy last week that a lot of people leaned on in cash games. I'm looking, you know, you mentioned that these teams do like to play a little bit faster, but they do lean on the run. It's interesting that, you know, for them, lots of plays per game don't necessarily translate into lots of points per game. But these are the teams, at this point in the season who have the most plays per game in the league. So, you know, going against each other, we could still see a lot of offensive plays per game and still not hit the over. Right. From the DFS perspective for St. Louis, is there anyone who stands out to you? I know Jordan Tamu, you know, quarterback, was kind of getting some love earlier in the season because he does have that rushing ability. He hasn't played quite up to his potential in recent weeks. Any thoughts on the guys there for St. Louis?
I'm not really having any St. Louis players pop up. LaDainian Washington is a guy that there's always upside there, but there's just better value elsewhere. And especially at quarterback, it's Walker all the way. And if you want to go for a higher upside rushing QB right now, it's BJ Daniels.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not really getting much Tamu right now. But yeah, he was definitely the stud for the first 5 weeks. But this week, I'm probably not going to have any shares.
Yeah, it's interesting in that I'm still, for the season, relatively optimistic on the Battlehawks. But for DFS, I'm still not really seeing anything that I actually want to invest in. Thoughts on Taylor Cornelius and what we've seen out of him recently? I mean, I don't think you would really want to go to him for DFS, at least in cash. Maybe for tournaments, he could be an option. But it seems as if he's at least helped to stabilize the quarterback position there for Tampa Bay over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this past year, especially with the NFL, I'm always like a couple of weeks too early. So I had Cornelius like week three or four when he was 0.2%. Yeah. I did nothing. And now he's just going off. I think it's really easy to keep him in as starting quarterback when they're winning. But, after that shootout loss against LA, they have Flowers. I was at the game and, there was still chance the entire game put in Flowers. And Aaron Murray's healthy. So there's that risk that he could get pulled in game still, but yeah, he's looked good. It's one of those things where, especially XFL, when you have these volatile QB situations, we don't know if he's going to make it through the entire game. So I'd be a little bit cautious. I would only play him in tournaments, obviously. I think ultimately he's going to be a little bit over-owned after his output last week. I think the time it took him was a few weeks ago when he was 1% and hope he would have a game like this, but it just didn't work out that way.
Well, on the topic of volatile quarterback situations, let's get to this next game here. We have the Dallas Renegades at the DC Defenders. The Defenders, 4.5-point favorites, a 35-point over-under. I mean, easily the lowest mark on the slate. And you can kind of see why. The Dallas Renegades without Landry Jones, they have Philip Nelson as their backup quarterback who is now starting the team in two full games with Nelson at quarterback, is yet to score an offensive touchdown. On the other side, you have the DC Defenders. It sure looks like Tyree Jackson is the guy that they're going to go with at quarterback. Cardale Jones was benched last week after throwing just two pass attempts, one of which was, ingloriously intercepted. And so the DC Defenders, it looks like they're going to go with Tyree Jackson. They had a really run-heavy approach with him at quarterback. It seems like that is probably what they would do. So two teams, it looks like they're probably going to be starting, backup caliber quarterbacks. The Renegades are a team that has driven totals to the under in their five games. And the DC Defenders really don't look like a team that can score a lot of points right now. Where are you on this game?
The past 2 weeks, the only bets I've lost were the two bets I made on Dallas. So I'm probably going to make that 3 weeks in a row. You guys stick with it. I'm showing value on them again. I think there should be a field goal. DC should be -3 here. Again, you mentioned it's going to be a lower scoring game. So any points you can get matter. So I think taking Dallas 4.5 makes sense here. And like you mentioned, Nelson has yet to lead an offensive touchdown drive. You mentioned earlier that game that against Houston where he led the final drive after Landry Jones went down. It really wasn't his fault they didn't score. I forgot who he threw it to. It was either Nagel or somebody, but they really should have scored. So I'm going to give him some credit on that one. But again, this game is pretty hard to peg. DC has been so volatile the past few weeks. I'm just willing to take the points here. I don't even know if it was warranted to bench Cardale. That interception, it was third and long, and he just chucked it deep. It was essentially a punt. And then they didn't ask Tyree Jackson to do much. He threw for 39 yards the rest of the game. So if Tyree Jackson is starting, it's going to make the under look more enticing. But if Jones starts, I might lean towards the over. I really don't know what they're going to do right now. And again, if you don't know who your starting quarterback is, that's not a good sign. So I think Dallas, hopefully they'll be a little bit more aggressive with their play calling. I thought that had a lot to do with Nelson's struggles last week. So I'll take Dallas plus 4.5 here and just hope for the best. But when it comes to DFS, I think the thing to do is target DC's running backs, either Presley or Pumphrey. They are going to be extremely run heavy this week. If Tyree Jackson's QB, they're not going to throw much. If Cardale's starting, they probably want to be a run heavy team to prevent potential turnovers. So I think just taking either one of those guys in any of your lineups a good sign. You know, they split their work fairly evenly, but any one of those guys can go off. They seem to trade off being the pass catching back. So again, if I were going to make 20 lineups, I'd probably have 6 with Presley, 6 with Pumphrey, and one of them with both. So that's probably how I'm going to approach this game.
I don't know if I can trust the Renegades. And you mentioned there the play calling last week. And to your point, it was a situation where Hal Mumme, the offensive coordinator, who's usually on the sideline calling plays, he was up in the booth, and the team cited that as something that kind of threw them off. And now he's not even calling plays anymore. They've given play calling duties to I can't remember his last name, Jeff Jusick or something like that. But the guy who used to be the head coach at Boston College, who now was the quarterback coach, he is now the offensive coordinator. And so it's, you know, it's a system that it's like, I don't know if he is the best guy to be calling Hal Mumme's air raid. So I'm just even more pessimistic about what's happening with this offense, given that it's a new play caller, a new quarterback, and they really haven't, you know, looked all that great to begin with it. And now they're on the road.
Do we know why Mumme was in the booth? Did it have anything to do with just getting lit up on the sideline?
It was the leg injury.
That's what I thought. Because
he broke his leg.
Yeah.
In the game when there was a collision on the sideline. And so he was on the sideline for the rest of week 4, but for week 5, he had to move up to the booth. Right. So
interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I don't love Dallas here. It's more of just taking both teams are in bad shape. So just taking the 4.5 is my theory, but yeah, you're right. I'm not in love with Dallas this week. I just think taking the points in a low scoring game is usually a winning play.
Yeah, I get it. You're right. And I mean, you're sharper at this than I am. It's just, I think I'm probably going to stay away from the side, and I'll probably take the total. I'll probably go under where we have it here. I mean, 35, it's a low number, but I mean, let's be honest, not many points are scored in a lot of these games. So it's not as if like it's an egregiously low number anyway. So I will probably be looking there. The last game we have on the slate, we have the Wildcats at the Seattle Dragons. And we talked about this game already a little bit with the potential home field situation going on in Seattle. The Wildcats, 2.5-point favorites, a 45.5 over under. Sean, where are you on this game?
I was at the game last week with LA, that crazy comeback win against Tampa Bay. I got to say, I loved it. I highly recommend going to an XFL game if you live in a city that has a team. But yeah, I think that shootout game is definitely impacting the total here. So I don't really have an advantage on the side. Like I said, we're going to have to see if this is a game that's impacted where they say, you know, fans aren't allowed to go. So I'm going to hold off on the side here, but I love the under here due to the market overreaction to that 75-point combined point game by LA. And Seattle is coming off a game where they played Houston. And we've actually seen the market overreact to all teams that just face Houston. Again, we already know that Houston is a, you know, a team where the over environment is significantly boosted. So the week after team plays Houston, the unders hit three out of four times. So I think that's factoring into the line being a little bit too high here. I have it being closer to 43. And again, this is a situation where I think both teams are pretty good when in terms of running the ball if the game's close. So we'll see both teams kind of stick with the run a bit while the game is tight, which I think it will be. So I love that aspect of it. And again, all the underlying data from last week tells me that both games were a bit higher scoring than they normally would with the typical offensive output. I think turnovers had a large part to do with the LA shootout. Same with Houston, Seattle. So I think this game, there's a lot of factors just flashing red on the under here for me. That's why this is probably my best play of the week. I'm probably going to end up max betting it when it goes up to, I would say it's going to go up to about 46.5. I could see the market boosting it up that much.
Well, that's good to know, because maybe wait on it a little bit. Even though don't bet it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say I like the under at 45, and then this morning it's up to 45.5. I really do think the market is going to push this up. And when you're talking about key numbers for totals, anything around 45, 46 is key. So you just wait for it to go up, which I think this will do. So at the end of the week, hopefully we get it around 46.5 or 47.
We got two quarterbacks in this game that I like a decent amount for XFL quarterbacks, at least. Josh Johnson seems to be getting, you know, a little bit better each week, and, you know, really lit it up last week in that home game, in that shootout victory. And then BJ Daniels coming in the second half of week four, you know, kind of, you know, lit a fire under the offense a little bit. And then in week five, you know, just kind of the lock cash game plays the cheap quarterback on the slate, and he has that rushing ability, and we saw it with the two rushing touchdowns. I mean, I like both of those guys. Any way that you are leaning for DFS?
Yeah, I love BJ Daniels. I think, like I said earlier, if you want to not take PJ Walker in a lineup, you can go with BJ Daniels. When it comes to Josh Johnson, though, I think, yeah, we're seeing, I mentioned it last week, he still hasn't been 100%, and I think once he gets that rushing ability, we know he has. He's only going to get better in real life and in DFS. And we saw that last week. He did look a lot more nimble last week. So I think he's only going to get better. Nelson Spruce is likely out again. Is that right?
That's my understanding. It seems like he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate because, like I said, if he and McBride are in the lineup at the same time, that's huge for a guy like Johnson. So, well, I don't like Josh Johnson by himself this week in terms of dollar value. I do think it does make sense to make some LA stacks of Johnson with like McBride, Smallwood, and Blacknell, you know, rotating in and out two of those wide receivers. All three of those wide receivers are worth their price right now. You know, Smallwood had a big play, and Blacknell had a big play, and they're on the field. Let me see if I could find the snaps, but they're on the field roughly, you know, 80% of the dropback. So they're the main three receivers right now. So yeah, if Josh Johnson is getting better, those guys will benefit. So that's why I think I probably won't take teams where I just have Josh Johnson. It's going to be part of a three-man stack for LA's passing game this week.
Last week, I thought Cam Phillips was a priority in cash games, and the same with Trey McBride. Do you think McBride is a priority this week? You know, he didn't have quite the game last week, but, you know, he was injured for part of it, came back, got the touchdown. What are your thoughts on McBride in particular in cash?
He's always a good play in cash, but his price is up there now. I think a guy like Holly is, you know, I have Holly projected for just like 1 point less, and he's almost 5K cheaper. So I think it makes sense to probably take a guy like Cam Phillips. I think Cam Phillips is the guy that you spend up on in cash. And then these 7K guys are actually more valuable per dollar than McBride. So I wouldn't say McBride's a must play in cash this week, especially off the shootout. I think people will probably be, you know, a little bit too high on McBride. But yeah, I think for cash, I wouldn't say he's a free square like he has been the past few weeks. I know I keep saying he's a free square, but this week, given the fact that I do like the under a bit and he's a bit pricey, I don't think he's a free square.
All right, let's look at the futures market. The futures that we like the most right now, I want to get your thoughts on it. Houston Roughnecks plus 170, Battlehawks plus 380, the DC Defenders plus 470, the Dallas Renegades 7.5 to 1, Guardians 7.5 to 1, the Wildcats 9 to 1, and the Dragons and Vipers both 26 to 1. Do you see anything on the market right now that you like?
Not really. Again, that week we took St. Louis at 10 to 1 is probably the best play of the year. And right now, it's you really have to make a case for a team other than Houston. And I don't know if I could do that right now. There's a lot of teams that are going to be viable for making the playoffs. Again, I think a team like LA right now at 9 to 1 could offer some value. That's one of those things where Nelson Spruce, it depends when he's going to return. But like I said, Josh Johnson, it looks like he's just now 100%. So that's going to be good for them down the road. But again, at 9 to 1, it's hard to bite because I do think it's likely Houston, St. Louis for the top two spots, and the market has it priced out pretty well. So I'm just not seeing the value that we saw in say week 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I had to take one, it would be the Wildcats because I do think that they have a pretty good chance of making the playoffs out of the West. And then at that point, you just have to win 2 games and, they would have a chance of doing it. But yeah, I think it's Wildcats or stay away for me. All right. Favorite bet of the week out of the week 6 lines, the one that you like the most, what is it?
So I mentioned earlier, but the LA Seattle under. Right now it's 45.5, but I guarantee it's going to end up being, closer to 46, 47. It's just one of those things where my model, I look at what the expected score should have been for each game, just based on the offensive output and trying to factor out things like turnovers, lucky explosive plays, and just both the LA and Seattle Houston game were just flashing red lights for me that the market will probably overreact to the over here. So, and my model itself had this game closer to 43. So again, I think this is a game where we're going to see both teams lean towards the run and it should be a closer game and both teams will want to play, a lower scoring style football game here. So I just love the under here.
All right. So I'm looking in the Action Network app where of course you can track your XFL bets. The under for Dallas, DC, the total there opened at 36. It's been bet down to 35 at most books. It is available at 35.5 at FanDuel. And that's where I'm going to grab it, taking the under there. Two lower scoring teams, and we've got a backup quarterback situation and backup offensive coordinator situation. Just I'm with you there on the under that you've called for LA Seattle. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Action Network podcast. You can follow Sean and me in the Action Network app at @_oddsmaker and Matt F. The Oracle. Use the app to get real-time odds and track your bets for free. Check out the rest of our episodes this week. Please subscribe to and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, you can listen and download on Spotify. See you again next episode.
We're finished talking.